The biggest lesson I've learned in pursuing my dream has been that dreams change and that that's okay.
My name is Spree Devorah, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
Hi, my name is Julie Gendrano. I'm a customer success engineer at UpGuard here in Mountain View, California, and you are listening to the Women in Tech Show.
Hi.
Hello. How are you?
So I am so excited to have Julie on the Women in Tech podcast. I am here in Mountain View with UpGuard, and UpGuard is so passionate about promoting women in tech and really supporting them to accelerate. I'm quite blown away just how supportive they are. They seem like a company that takes chances because they believe in the integrity and character of their team, and they'll invest in developing each teammate's skill sets if they see that that team member has a lot of what it takes to be the right fit. Would you say that's accurate?
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the things I really love about working for UpGuard. I think this time that last year I was working in financial services. I didn't love my job. I like the fact that it was super steady, but I'm very much a risk taker. I'm very much a go-getter, and I love to be challenged by the work that I do. So I went through a Ruby on Rails coding bootcamp out in Boston. It's called Launch Academy. It's a wonderful program. It's one of the harder bootcamps to get into on the Northeast, and I really wanted to make a change. So I learned how to code on my own. I went through the program. I learned from a lot of great mentors. And when I got out of the program, I got a good amount of job offers. I got 4 job offers, and 3 of them were in Boston. But then UpGuard also gave me an offer because they thought that I would have the potential to bring a lot to the table with my past experience in retail and client services and focus, and they were willing to what I really wanted to do is I wanted to learn how to merge my development skills with a success role so I could be forward facing and really know what's out there in terms of tech trends. And they give me all these opportunities. They turned a role that doesn't necessarily have to be a development role into one where I could work on coding projects and fix bugs alongside the engineering team, and I can learn any technology I want. And they've been amazingly supportive since I started with this company. So,
and when did you start with them?
Late June. So
June of 2016.
Yes, I started June 2016. So it was really tough for me to move from my family and my friends, but ultimately everyone I knew, including my parents, including my significant other, we all agreed that this was the best job opportunity for my personality and what I wanted to do.
Now, when you say that, first of all, you're a customer success engineer, right? And we'll get into that in a second. But when you say it was really tough to move, but everybody was really supportive, you left your boyfriend and your dog at home.
Yeah, I left my boyfriend and my dog at home. We were really excited for me to go and do something that I wanted to do and, be able to, it was a couple tough months of bills to pay with one income. But suddenly everything changed because now we're paying 2 rents and all of my stuff still is in Boston and it's all of my friends are there. But ultimately it was the best decision for both of us because I come to work in every day and I'm really excited, and I'm excited for what I can learn for the future. And, he might actually come out and join me here because he's so excited with all of the opportunities you can get in this area you can get a lot in Boston. Boston's a great area too, but just, us being together and, being able to enjoy the area for what it's worth, and inside of work and outside of work, this might be the spot for us. So
this is incredible. And okay, so we're going to to talk about what being a customer success engineer means to you. Mm-hmm. And was that your calling? Like, how long did you, like, where did it all transpire? First, let's talk about what does being a customer success engineer mean to you?
Oh, gosh. Oh, so it means a lot. It means that one of my fears when I went into development was, although I love it, I love problem solving, I can be that scary person that's up until 3 a.m. trying to figure out a problem. I was also worried, like, you know, the old stereotype with coders, which was like the dark room, the cubicle, and somebody making, you know, typing commands into a terminal and hacking and all of that. And I had worried, because I had a lot of friends in tech for a long time, that it would be a space where it wasn't as collaborative. But, you know, with the development more of, you know, agile software development and having teams and being very collaborative, that you actually find more tech offices, especially small startups that have to constantly reassess what they're doing, they communicate a lot and they need developers who are strong communicators. So it kind of made me want to think that out there was a position where I could be a developer and I could take the time out to work on things and solve problems. But on the other flip side, I would be able to still be customer facing because that's what I was doing for so many years before I joined up with UpGuard.
Totally. So it's such an interesting combination because usually engineer or developer, they're very introverted. And so for you wanting to deal with customers, it's a very interesting combination.
Yeah. Yeah. It's actually funny because I, for a long time, actually thought I was an introvert. I was kind of scared of people, but then I turned out I was just an extrovert with like kind of minor social qualms and small anxiety levels that I was able to over time kind of get over. So when I actually initially went to school at BU for biochem, and I really wanted to work in a lab. But when I realized that I really want to work with people, I realized that I couldn't work in a lab because that wouldn't be the place for me. So I quit college, and my parents were not pleased, but they were like, well, she'll figure it out someday, hopefully, cross my fingers. And I started working at Starbucks to pay the bills.
Right.
And everyone was like, oh my gosh, Starbucks, you did so well in high school. You're a failure, maybe. And it turned out to be the best job that I had until I came here.
Because you learned all about customer experience.
I learned about, you know, like what made people tick. Yeah. I could go in and I could see, you know, what motivated people, and I could figure out how to crack people. I could figure out, like, over time how to get people to your side,
right,
which I never realized it was a skill. It was a skill to kind of learn all of that. And it all was just helped the business because, you know, it's really easy to sell people things if you know what you want to sell them and it makes sense to sell it to them, right? I was eventually approached by people that worked in the financial district because I was making coffee in the financial district. And they're like, hey, do you want to try banking? Do you want a different job?
Right.
And I'm like, not really. It sounds really boring. They're like, oh, come on, you need to try it. And they gave me the same, kind of the similar opportunity. They dangled a carrot on the stick, which was like, you know, we'll teach you a bunch of skills that'll help you. And I was like, okay, skills are great. So I started working in a bank part-time. And I moved up from part-time teller to management position in a couple of years. And I got to work with customers. And I was like, wow, this is really great.
I love how, before we move too far ahead, I love how something that could have been perceived as not the best moments in your life or a failure to others was actually a great success in your journey.
Yeah.
It was a vital learning experience.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a really big advocate for, you know, I love college. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to go back. I'm in this place now where I can actually afford to send myself back to college now that I work in tech and I know exactly what I want to do now. But a lot of people feel like they're failures when they go down such a non-traditional path. But sometimes if you work really hard and you kind of learn and you make some, you know, strategic calculations and risks in what you want to do, you know, it's not a death sentence. It's not the end of the world. This is like maybe the second time I've changed my career and I'm 30. So, and I don't feel like a lick over 22 sometimes because I'm like, I don't dread coming into work. And I always tell people, like, you know, it's okay to go and learn new skills. Like, my mother was a nurse and she's been a nurse her whole life. And she went back to community college to learn how to program when she was 40.
When did you first discover the tech world?
You know, I've known about it forever.
Who exposed you to it?
I've been in my mother. My mother bought a computer in 1985 to learn how to, you know, run programs off of floppy disk and taught herself DOS. She's always been interested. But it was weird because it's not that people pushed me away from computers, but it was just very intimidating because I never felt that I had the personality for it. And I did relatively well in school. I finished near the top of my class, but I always excelled in other things like debate. Like I sang in choir and I sang in church in the public. And, you know, with all of the stereotypes of programmers back in the 90s, it was like, oh, you know, that's, you know, it doesn't seem like, you know, you're going to be great if you'd be awesome. It never really occurred to me, even growing up, you know, playing video games my whole life, being involved, like in college, playing competitive video games in college.
Wait, and who got you into the video games?
Like, you know, my family, you know, when you're around computers, you pick up video games pretty quick. And my parents would be like, okay, it's a weird hobby. She wants a Game Boy, but she's a girl, but that's okay. Well, you know, we'll cave and get it for her as long as she keeps her grades up. And, you know, they were okay with it.
Yeah.
But meeting all these people who like video games obviously also exposed me to tech. Even over time, I still never thought it was my thing, even though, like, I saw all my friends do it, until I realized that the tech world needed more people of diversity. They needed people who would solve a problem a little bit differently.
How did you become aware of that?
How did I become aware of that? I would see, so I saw a lot of my friends post-college. A lot of them graduated and got offers from Microsoft, and I would watch them do really great things in, like, my best girlfriend works for Microsoft. She worked on Xbox One as one of her last projects. And I thought, you know, even though I was terrible at coding when I took my first coding classes in high school, mm-hmm. I just had to give it another shot, you know, a different place in your life. And as soon as I figured out that the tech world was a place where I could maybe carve out a different path, that was kind of my impetus to kind of move towards that. And as soon as I did that, I went out and I found a lot of women mentors. I wanted to know, like, what their journey was. And surprisingly, a lot of them had very similar stories where, you know, they weren't the best in their CS101 classes and they had to work really hard and they weren't naturals, but they are amazing now. Like, you know, I have one girlfriend who is getting her PhD. She did computer science as her undergrad, and a lot of my other friends are going back for their masters, but they weren't naturally inclined to be hackers, so to speak, in air quotes. When they were growing up, it was something that they had to kind of discover, too.
And how do you think that they discovered it?
Some of them were just more gutsy than me. Some of them were a little bit more kind of set to do it from the get-go. But they're also the types of people who understand that people can just jump into it later in life. They don't have to start with it. They could just transition into it when, you know, later on, because there's just so many opportunities that they need.
Who was your mentor in getting where you are today? Had a mentor?
I've had a lot of mentors.
How do you even get a mentor? Like, what is a mentor to you, and how do you get one?
I have mentors who are the people I check in with every couple weeks, and I have, like, a couple of friends that if I ever make any big decisions or want to learn anything from, I can just, you know, ping them privately or ping them publicly through the internet. I would say one of my mentors would be my best friend from college. We met playing video games. And she was doing computer science. And when I told her, even before I formally made it a thing that I was going to go in, I would be like, hey, I'm really interested in coding, but I don't think I have the chops. She pushed me. She was just like, you know, here are some newsletters to read. She introduced me to Women Who Code. She introduced me, like, she's like, look on Meetup. And from there, like, I would have never thought to go through any of those avenues. I met a lot of people throughout the Boston tech community with her encouragement. My mother, just by virtue of the fact she actually has a programming degree to some extent, she was a huge mentor as well.
What about when a challenge presents itself? How do you overcome challenges?
How do I overcome challenges? A lot of asking questions. In my past, I've always not been the kind of person to'd go out and ask questions very easily. But now I understand that, you know, not everybody knows everything. And that's okay. That's something that, you know, this environment of UpGuard is so big on collaborating and sharing information. Like, that was a really big draw of me coming here. So
amazing. And what's the best lesson you've learned about yourself in pursuing your dream?
The biggest lesson I've learned in pursuing my dream has been that dreams change, and that that's okay. And that nothing is linear. As long as you have kind of an idea of where you're going and you can put into words and put into thoughts how you're going to get there, it's attainable.
Your favorite coding boot camps?
Oh, gosh. I love mine. Big plug for anybody listening who is interested in East Coast boot camps. is Launch Academy. They do Ruby on Rails with a really, they're starting to really heavily focus on JavaScript. Their alumni program is amazing. So a lot of the job offers I got were from people who had gone through Launch Academy and did well on their teams, and they were looking to hire more people out of Launch Academy. They recently expanded to Philadelphia, so they're in Boston and Philadelphia, and they are pretty amazing in terms of trying to keep all of us up in the know and still learning. Our founder is really, really awesome right now in trying to get us graduates before like the bootcamp switch to a Ruby and JavaScript foundation. He's trying to get us a React tutorial so we can, you know, keep our skills sharp. And that's a really great mark when you have a bunch of graduates that are still interested in contributing and, you know, learning new things. So,
and what's next for you?
Oh, what's next for me? I haven't been here long enough to know what's here because there's so many things to do. What's next for me is I would love to learn more in terms of security, computer security, like what UpGuard does. One of the things I'm planning on doing is having more contributions to the development side. So I've been kind of still learning the ropes and dealing, since I'm kind of triage if somebody, like first line support, sometimes I have projects that I have to go off to do of coding and non-coding varieties. Right. So I'll carve out some time at some point in the future to get more involved in development projects, and I'm really excited about. So
everybody that wants to connect with you to just kind of develop a relationship further or get to know more about your background and what you do, where is the best place to reach you?
The best place to reach me is on Twitter. I love Twitter, and I've been active there for many years now. My Twitter handle is Jujuku, JUJUKOO, and you'll find me tweeting about Bay Area tech life and sports and video games.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Julie, for sharing your Women in Tech story. We need more stories like yours.
Absolutely.
And I still can't believe you left literally your whole life in Boston because UpGuard was like that worth it.
You know, it's October and I still can't believe it either, but I love coming to work in every day, and I really hope that we will still continue to be really awesome at work, which, I mean, you don't really have to hope that because it's just awesome here. So
that's awesome.
Yay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
High five. Yay!
This episode of the Women in Tech Show is powered by UpGuard. UpGuard's discovery engine brings visibility to complex IT environments, enabling teams to quickly identify risk, confirm compliance, and make business safer. They are proud supporters and employers of incredible women in tech. To be notified every time a new Women in Tech episode is released, simply text Women in Tech to 310-872-2423. That's 310-872-2423. To support the Women in Tech Show, it's super easy. All you need to do is start doing your Amazon shopping by clicking on this link first, womenintechshow.com/Amazon. That's womenintechshow.com/Amazon. The Women in Tech Show is hosted by Esprit Devora, edited by MKW Films, show notes provided by Carl Marty, music by Jay Huffman Live. The Women in Tech Show is a WeAreTech.fm production.